Good morning or good afternoon, whatever you happen to be watching this. Welcome to Homefront, our first virtual Homefront meeting, and literally from my home front, or at least my living room. Hopefully this is going to work great. And if you got this via an email, you should have also seen a link just suggesting how you can use a program called Zoom. I think it's zoom.us. So that you can have a virtual table talk time with some of your friends from Homefront. If you want to reach out to them and do that, just go ahead and take a look at that email. Or if you didn't get the email, well, now you know, zoom.us, and pull together some other couples, and you guys can watch this and then log on to Zoom and have a conversation with each other using the discussion questions that we have here. So I'm glad you're here. And we have been in, I think this is part 13 in a series called Annual Maintenance Check. Before we jump into that, I will pull up, just so we keep everything normal, our standard Homefront icebreaker questions. So if you happen to be just the two of you, or maybe you've got some other couples that are joining and you guys want to use the icebreaker questions, you can just hit pause here, and I'll stay quiet for a couple of seconds, and then you can hit play again and we'll get started. Okay, so like I said, we've been in a series called Annual Maintenance Check, and the if you've missed out on it, if you're just joining us for the first time, we've been using sort of this airplane maintenance schedule metaphor, and you can go back online, restandbible.org/homefront, and you can look up sort of our introduction video that we had to this series, as well as all of the other installations on our maintenance check series. You can go back and watch those if you have time and you'd like to do that. Most of them have the discussion questions on there as well. And the idea here was, you know, we were just asking ourselves in the beginning of the series, how is it that airplanes, aircraft that are so, you know, some of them that were built in the 70s or even older, some, you know, the 1940s and 50s are still able to fly and fly safely and fly well. And the reason behind that is that they're on a rigorous maintenance schedule. They are always getting a lot of different parts of the entire aircraft looked over and maintained on a very, very regular and rigorous basis, which is why we can feel safe flying an aircraft that are that old. And so we carried that over to our marriages, and we said, well, how is it that we can keep a marriage strong, flying straight, so to speak, and accomplishing the purpose for which God created our marriage over the long haul? And we said that one way that we can help in that is by having a rigorous annual maintenance check. And so we've been going through different parts of our marriage, kind of getting under the hood, so to speak, and looking at all kinds of different topics, from finances to the importance of community, which we just covered pretty recently. Just a lot of different things. So you can go back and look at those. Okay, so enough about that. Where are we going today? Where we're going today is the discussion about faith in marriage. And I want to read to you guys an article. I found this article, and it absolutely cracked me up. So I thought, I gotta share this with you guys. This comes from the Huffington Post. Yes, from the Huffington Post online. And here's what the article says. It starts off, quoting 1 Corinthians 13. So it said, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then they go on to say, the words of the Apostle Paul are a familiar text at weddings, a time when hope is least tempered by experience. But several new studies suggest the biblical text, with its emphasis on consideration for others, also may provide the foundation of a spiritual blueprint for lasting, satisfying unions. This is a new discovery. They go on and they say, four studies published in the Journal of Family Psychology indicate that cultivating practices such as selfless prayer, spiritual intimacy, and compassionate love can help keep couples happily together through the challenges of marriage, from becoming parents to caring for one another amid the infirmities of old age. And another study in the fall issue of Sociology of Religion finds that individuals who attached a great importance to their faith and entered into marriage for religious reasons are less likely to commit adultery. The latest findings are part of a developing effort to delve deeper into the connection between religion and marriage, to identify specific practices and beliefs that predict stronger unions. Well, what do you know? It's amazing, isn't it? Right? The article goes on to cite five different ways. I'm going to pull them up here on the screen. The article names five different ways that faith holds a marriage together, sort of like the rivets. If you imagine the rivets in our airframe, how does faith hold a marriage together? So here are the things that they listed. They said prayer, spiritual intimacy or spiritual honesty, as well, there's another word that they use there, compassionate love, a mutual deepening relationship with God, and then walking out that faith together, faith in action toward one another, but also to the world beyond our family. That those five things were linked to a strong marriage. There's some kind of mysterious correlation there. Are you all shocked? Were you as shocked as I was to hear this? You know, who would have thought? We are designed, Scripture's clear, that we are designed and even geolocated, right, as human beings to seek God, to seek the eternal, to seek the divine. It's written on our hearts. You know, Acts 17, he determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God intended that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and breathe and have our being. If the secret to the strength of our marriage, if the secret to the strength of my marriage, the reason that this, you know, my particular 25-year-old marriage can hold together in the midst of all kinds of turbulence, from child rearing to, you know, loss of jobs to moves to coronavirus, right? And not suffer a mid-air breakup. If the secret of that is our spiritual intimacy that we have as a couple with the King of the universe, then this is definitely a critical part of our maintenance check. So think back, right? Jesus says that, you know, that we are to abide in him. We are all called to abide in Christ in order that we as individuals might bear good spiritual fruit. But we're also called to do that together, right? There is a horizontal connection between ourselves and our spouse, and then there is a vertical connection between us and with God. And those two, the horizontal and the vertical, are designed to work together, right? We saw that in when Jim Supp shared a couple of weeks ago on the importance of community. You can go back and listen to that talk. It was really good. The importance of authentic biblical community to marriage. We saw the importance of that horizontal relationship. So we're going to talk about this week at our tables is just kind of taking that down to the micro level and to the micro community of just you and your spouse. If two individuals, just keep this, you know, if you want to keep a picture in your head, if two individuals are walking toward a fixed point, the same fixed point, then naturally those two individuals are going to get closer together. The closer they get to that fixed point, they're always going to be getting closer together. You know, Psalm 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together, right? Ecclesiastes 4:12, another famous verse, a lot of times used in weddings, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So the idea that we are intertwined, you know, ourselves, our spouse, and the Lord Jesus as sort of the strength member of our cord. Those are wonderful visual or wonderful metaphorical pictures to have in your mind as you try to think about the importance of the spiritual aspect of your marriage. But beyond just having good metaphors and good pictures in your head, we need to have some sort of practical things that we can hang, you know, hang our hats on here. So what I want to put to you guys is this idea that just like we have love languages on the horizontal plane, right, on our husband-wife relationship, and even really other relationships, in the parent-child relationship and even among friends, we have love languages. We've talked about those at different times, you know, the five love languages that are commonly referred to Just like we have those love languages, we also have spiritual love languages. And it's important that we understand what our spiritual love language is. How do we connect to God? How does our spouse connect to God? Finding that out, we find out what our spiritual love language is. And I want to suggest, I'm going to put out 7 of them here. There could be more. This is not like my doctoral thesis or anything. So at your work, at your tables, at your table time or your group discussion time, you may come up with some additional ones that I have not thought of, and that would be great. So if you do, email those to me, MikeMyers@RestandBible.org. I would love to include those in a future edition of this. So here are the ones that I want to suggest for you guys. The first one is this: worship and song. And they're just listed here for you. Worship and song. Acts of service, or in some place we might call this social activism, right? Acts of service. Communing with nature. Solitude, meditation, prayer. Kind of put those together in a group. Ritual, tradition, and symbols. Some people feel closest to God through those things. Scripture study or learning, teaching. These are sort of our theologian love language. And then the last one is gratitude and giving. And in relation to these, and I'm just going to leave them up there for you guys for a little while, if you want to jot them down, or you can pause and jot them down. In relation to these, we really need to ask ourselves 3 questions as couples. The first one is this: are we as a couple, are we on the same page on major spiritual matters, right? Things like the importance of prayer, the importance of giving of our time, our talent, our treasure, the importance of church attendance. Like, how important, what a priority do each of you place on the gathering together of God's people? The importance of healthy community outside of sort of the Sunday morning gatherings or midweek gatherings, but just having day-by-day authentic Christian community. Time in the Word, and on it goes. How much importance do you guys, are you on the same page in these areas? It's really important not only that you be on the same page as God, which is ultimately the most important, but then the two of you are also on that same page with the Lord in those areas. The second question you want to ask yourselves is, how can I encourage? How can I, as a husband or how can I, as a wife, encourage my spouse in their relationship with the Lord? If I know what their love language is, how can I encourage them, especially if it's a love language, a spiritual love language that's different from mine, maybe one that I don't get, how can I encourage them in that love language? And at the same time, how can I encourage them to explore, maybe explore some other love languages that they didn't realize they had, or didn't that they don't have, but they didn't realize were important, just to help them have a richer relationship with the Lord. And then the third question we need to ask is, how can we learn to abide in Christ together? Right? In what ways can we blend our spiritual love languages into something more? And how can I, as an individual, learn some new love languages? Can I learn my spouse's? There's a couple that we're friends with, and she is very much an acts of service, love in action, spiritual love language. That's how she feels closest to the Lord. And he is definitely the theologian, the study, the scripture study, and teaching, learning love language. Well, the two of them have really, in the last several years, been a real inspiration to me in the way that they have reached across each other's love language and began to really appreciate and practice one another's love language and really reap the benefits of that in their spiritual walk. I want to pause here and just say something to the husbands specifically. Guys, just listen to me here for a second. I want to suggest to you that Scripture is really clear that our role as husbands is to lead the way here in this area. Spiritual leadership means Christ-like leadership. If we want to know what that is, it's pretty simple. It's sacrificial leadership. Do we love God together in a way that's balanced? Are you thinking about that? Are you analyzing that or assessing that in your marriage? Are you asking yourself the question, how am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her? Not just laid down his life for her, but sanctified her with the washing of water in the word, right? Sanctified her so that he might present her to himself, the church, to himself, in all her splendor, right? How are we acting that out in the context of our marriage? Are we helping our wife, in our spouse, in the spiritual realm to be everything that God created her to be? Are we serving sacrificially in that way? So just a thing to remember, a thing to ask yourself, husbands, really, really important. You know, guys, it took secular psychology 2,000 years, apparently, to figure out that marriages that are firmly abiding in Christ are stronger, they're happier, and they're more hopeful and resilient. But I'm glad they finally caught on. It took them long enough, but praise God that they caught on eventually. Just an interesting side point I found in kind of researching this. Regular church attendance is associated with a reduction in divorce of more than 30%. So if you want to cut back on your chances for divorce, there you go. There's an easy one. So I want us to spend some time in your group, if you have a group, or just the two of you if you're just at home, considering these questions. And you'll also find them on the webpage where this video is. First question is this: are we on the same page on spiritual matters? And I kind of listed out some of those that we talked about. The second one is, how can I encourage you? This is a question for you to ask your spouse. How can I encourage you in your relationship with the Lord? And then for you two together to really discuss and drill down on, how can we abide in Christ together? In what ways can we blend our love languages and learn new love languages? And if you have to rewind and go back and look at what those love languages were, or you can pause here. I have them listed at the bottom of the page. So guys, I know this is not as much fun as being together on a Sunday morning, but we'll get there. We'll get back together soon, I'm sure. Let's keep praying that the Lord would bring this to a swift end, and that we might be able to gather again. So let me just close by just saying a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much again for just the ability that you've given us through the use of technology to continue to be able to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord, to be able to encourage one another in our marriages. God, I just pray for all of the couples that are listening to this. Father, that you would bless them with this unexpected time together, that it would be a time where they could reconnect with you together, and learn to abide more closely, more deeply with Christ together. So Father, we do praise you. We do rejoice in who you are and all that you've done for us. And we put our lives, our marriages, and our families in your hands. God, we do ask, cry out to you, Father, that you would bring this current crisis to a swift end. Lord, that you would show yourself strong on behalf of your people. Lord, that you would do it in a way that is unmistakably you, Father, that the world would know that you are God, that you alone are the living God, the King of the universe. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.